And good morning and welcome to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is May 11, 2024. We thank you for tuning in, and we're going to start off by going to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning in the direction that we're to go. We pray that you just give us a moving of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask that this program may be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes. And Lord, we're thankful to be here. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, Paul. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Doing good. Doing real good. Abundantly blessed. And we've got, looks like we've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And you're going to have to bring your volume down a little bit there, Richard. And we've got Josh on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, glad you men could make it this morning. There's a lot of stuff to talk about this morning, but I want to start off by talking about this. This solar storm was, it was something. I'll tell you what, it was something to be able to see the Northern Lights in Colorado. And that's something that I can't ever remember seeing them before. At least nothing like what they were last night. Did anybody else get to see them?
My daughter had pictures of them. Yeah, it was like fireworks almost. I didn't see it personally, but she sent a picture on his text, and yeah, it was brilliant.
It was very magnificent. I thought it was, I didn't stay up all night watching it to see the full effect, but same thing. I had several friends of mine and several people that called me at 2:30 in the morning and said I should go outside and look at it. I really didn't want to do that. But I did get up a couple times and check it out, and it was absolutely, just stunning. And I'll tell you what was weird yesterday was also when that solar storm started rolling in, just the clouds, how everything changed. I mean, you could feel it in the air. It was interesting, and I talked to a lot of people, and they described it as they were just having off days. They said that there was a lot of anger and frustration in the air, strong enough where you could cut it with a knife. It was interesting. I tell you what, there was a lot of stuff going on. I don't know. I talked to a couple people. They were working on some communication stuff, and I did not hear of any communications anything that went down or anything like that, but it was wouldn't have been surprised if it did. Tim, what are your thoughts on the whole deal?
Well, they did have some interruption in communications below what they call a 30 megahertz zone, and that happened mostly in marine type communications and marine buoys and stuff like that.
So that's like UHF, is that what that would be?
VH. I gotta think, but yeah, it's a higher frequency that they use for longer range stuff that the government uses as far as mostly for communications on their buoys, for their wave buoys and for inner ship communications and stuff. And the storm's not over. I mean, this is just actually kind of the beginning of it. I mean, the CME hit the magnetic field on the 10th of May, and that's kind of like the beginning of the biggest geomagnetic storm they've talked about in 20 years. I mean, which is a big storm. And the storm right now is currently like a category G3. They kind of rate these like hurricanes, and each number up is 10 times, what the other one was. So it's not like an order of magnitude. Each number up.
So a G2, G3 is 10 times stronger than a G2.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and, the category, the one that the one that has started is what they're suspecting is going to be a G5. Currently, it's a G3, but you know, there's several more hits to come during the next 24 to 48 hours. I mean, they're getting auroras as far south as Florida. You know, so well, we had some clouds last night and different things, so really didn't get much here, but I guess it was there some parts out here. So, but there's a lot of the solar flares in the X-ray, in the X class or X-ray solar flares are kind of the ones, gammas and X-rays are the ones that are detrimental to a lot of things, or it depends on how you look at it. I mean, my personal opinion is God says that the sun's going to rise with healing in its wings, and I think that's just what he means. I think a lot of these solar winds and solar flares are healing to the earth. They readjust its electric nature. They put it back in God's order, and I think a lot of this stuff we've talked about as far as man-made interference, and I'm not saying that they control it, but they certainly would like to try. And I think a lot of this stuff is undoing that kind of information. So it's just one of the things, the categories of X-class flares or M-class flares, that they're major events that they affect the polar regions, they affect radio blackouts and everything else, but they can also create a readjustment or realignment of the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, of the entire earth. And God knows what he's doing. I mean, he says that the sun will shine until, you know, he says it's not getting, of course, man says, well, it's going to burn out. And they can't even explain how it really works. They'd like to think they could, but, you know, they, at the end of the day, they've got more questions than answers. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing there.
Well, and I talked to somebody yesterday, and they said the same thing. They said, this is the way that God is putting things back in alignment because of all this cloud seeding and these chemtrails and stuff that's taking place. And he's zapping it back into control. And I don't know. I mean, I wish I understood a lot of that stuff a lot better than I do, but I'm not going to claim to be an expert on it by any means. But I thought it was a good thought, and, you know, it's very possible.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But I heard that they were able to see the northern lights as far south as Alabama. And I had a sister-in-law up in Alaska that sent me a picture of, you know, the Northern Lights. And it was funny last night because everybody was talking about how great the Northern Lights were in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. And I was telling them, it's like, yeah, well, we can see them. They're pretty brilliant here in Colorado too. And you know, I don't think she believed me, but it was magnificent.
Well, it's funny we're talking about getting the phone call at 2 o'clock this morning. I read there was a G5 eruption or flare or what have you this morning about 3 o'clock. Just, you know, one event, and so that, I wonder if that was probably what your buddies were seeing.
Okay. maybe I should have got up and seen it.
But anyway, and so. Mainly so far what I've read that this is affected is like your HF stuff, you know, anything that propagates in the ionosphere, you know, anything that's skipping signal around for long range communication or what have you, so far is what the main effects are on it. But you think about what all we've learned with magnets and their effects on the body and how they can be used for healing and all. And so I think that is completely plausible that this would be something that he sent for us just to, you know, to get things back in order, to get us back lined out.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're very possible. Go ahead, Paul.
Tomorrow is 40 days since the Passover.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's significant. Right? Yes.
Well, I think so. You know, that, you know, like the solar flares and stuff like that, and he is going to put it back in order for sure. But you know, 40 days—that's the 40 days after Nineveh. I think it's all connected. I don't really, but Jason said, I don't know if I, what I know, you know, I used to think I knew it was coming, but I don't, except that he's in charge, and he really don't need us, but he wants us, so it's a good time to have some faith, because we're going to be tested.
Well, I think one of the things that is always important to kind of keep in front of our eyes or in our mind is the fact that this is all for God's people. I mean, he said, you go back to Adam, and he said, you know, it's going to be, you know, this many days before I send my son, or, you know, to redeem you. And, I mean, sometimes as God's people, we seem a little bit insecure and a little bit unthankful or ungrateful for the fact that he's doing this all for us. You know, it's like... for our well-being, for our cure, I mean, for our redemption. And so I think a lot of times we there should be some prayers of thankfulness go up, even though we don't always understand it. I mean, I'm not going to say that, oh, yeah, I can see how all this works, and I can see how all that. Sometimes, it's like, well, okay. But God is, God has the cure. God has the fix. God wins. You know, these things are all like, we should be grateful for that. And I mean, if it's the end of this current, realm or reason for being, or this powers to be type thing, that's a good thing. God's got that well in hand. It doesn't mean that we're going to be left with nothing or with less or anything. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. Even if we can't understand it or can't see how it's going to function.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think that, you know, is what people got to recognize too is, you know, the destruction is, you know, is for the wicked. And I've talked to a lot of people, and it's easy to get caught up in the fear. And you know, we need to be found walking in faith, and we need to have that. And I know that there's a lot of people that are going through a lot of lessons in faith out there. You know, just talking to, you know, people out there that call in and write in letters and stuff to us, and it seems like everybody, you know, there's a lot of people that are going through different trials and tribulations in their lives and in their families, and it's God's teaching his people how to have faith. If they don't have it, he's teaching it to them. He's refining their faith. He's making them stronger. Tim, you know who, you know, you've talked to the same gentleman up in, another gentleman up in Nebraska, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are just waking up to, different things that are going on, and, you know, they're excited about it. They're, getting educated about it. We've talked to people that are getting into communications and stuff as well. It's exciting times, and we don't have to be fearful of it.
Well, and Paul brought up the 40 days, and that was that Noah thing, 40 days, 40 nights. And I'm pretty sure that whole flood situation that Noah went through there when they went into the ark and they did all this, that it was a terrifying experience. I mean, you know, but God put him safely in a place. They were scared. When they came out, it was better. It was, you know, God made a healing thing. Now, for the people that were outside the ark, not so much, but this isn't about them. This is about the people that God wants to save, God wants to protect, and that are God's sheep who know his name. So
yes.
I think a lot of times that, you know, it's easy to lose sight of that and get caught up in the fear porn that goes all around. So, yeah.
That's what I was thinking this morning. We always pray about what to talk about, but on Saturday morning, God give us. But I was thinking that you are what you eat. And the perfect example of, you know, whichever way you choose to view what's going on. If you want to be afraid of it and put it as a god, then you probably should fear it because you're not putting faith in God. And if you don't have the faith in God, then you're not going to make it through it because that's what gets you through is faith in God. So if we just, in all applications, we need to remember that we are what we eat, physically, spiritually, mentally. And you got a choice.
Really good point.
Well, and you got to, yeah. I mean,
it's that scripture that
it talks about the
God
fear
works all things
and,
for good for those that love Him.
Yeah, and you're gonna. I mean, and casting out fear is one of the things that's so important. Is you know, not having that fear is you're gonna serve who you fear, and you know, it just you know, it talks and the scripture that talks about you know the whole duty of mankind is to fear the Lord, and you know we have the scriptures that talk about you know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and I really think that that ties into a lot of it, and I think that that's one of the things that you know he desires, and it's something that's lacking because you know I mean the churches in the land for the most part you know they don't teach anybody to have any fear of the Lord. I mean they openly condone and accept sin in the churches, you know. Oh, well, they're in a committed relationship, so it's okay if they're living in together. You know, they've let the homosexuals in the last, you know, 10 years, and some of them longer than that. You know, it's one of the things that they've just, you know, continued to condone sin, and it's, you know, oh, you know, Jesus, you know, he's not going to judge you. He's, you know, he's your best friend. And, you know, I mean, just lie after lie after lie. So it's no wonder we're in the state of condition that we're in today. I got a text here. We do have a phone number to call in. That number is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. I think I've got a line on. And if you'd like to call in this morning, that's the number, 970-224-4203. But And if it's busy, you're just going to have to hang up and call back. Last week, we had several people that called in, and I don't know if it was the same person that was trying to get in, but there was no audio there, and I think they just had a bad connection.
Well, you know, it's kind of amazing how we revert back to our own eyeballs and what we see and stuff like that and how forget fast we forget faith. And if you can imagine what Moses was like when he walked up to the Red Sea, he went, it makes you wonder what's going through his head. And, you know, you take Abraham, he goes to visit these people, and this is my sister. He did that twice. But, I mean, there was always that doubt and that human characteristic that we have to overcome. And when this is what we're talking about right now, you know, what's going on, we have to have that faith. Because, you know, I've seen that lightning bolt in Wisconsin, and it's amazing how fast you forget about that. You know, then you got to remind yourself, you know, what happened. And I always said, if you could, if those people went down that road down to the thing, if you could measure the space of time, that's how long before God's going to do it. But it's just, from my own experience, it's just crazy how fast we revert back to the way we see things instead of God sees things. God says his ways are not our ways, and that's the absolute truth. But, you know, I guess we are probably more enlightened in scriptures than most people that we know. But even then, I'd have to say none of us are real cocky about it. In fact, I think I'm being humbled at the moment about what I think I know. God hates pride, and that's probably my worst enemy.
Amen.
Yes. Well, and I think a lot of times that as long as we're talking about this, one of the things that came to mind when we were talking about it is the fact that when we look at Mark 9, you know, 23 was this father was asking Jesus at the time to cast the demon out of his son, and but a lot of times we don't read Mark 22 and the one before it. It says, but if you, the father said to Jesus, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And verse 23 says, but Jesus said to him, if you can. You know, a lot of times we don't read that with the right punctuation. All things are possible for the one who believes. I mean, he was Jesus Christ. All things were possible for him. But he said, all things are possible for the one who believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And we all have that seed of unbelief in us. If we didn't, there would be, you know, nothing that wasn't possible, because that's what Jesus said there. All things are possible for the one who believes. So there's some seed of unbelief in every one of us that limits us. Probably, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, judging from the things that we see in our humanity and the mistakes that we make, like Paul says, sometimes our lack of humility. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. There we go. You know, Jesus is, he's got it in hand. So he can do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, I mean, you can definitely tell that the Lord's working, because there's a lot of people that are going through these growing pains, so to speak, and they're, you know, learning an awful lot. That's one of the things that, you know, I've noticed, just, you know, the few people that I talk to, it's you know, they're learning stuff, they're learning different things, and it's, you know, the Lord's teaching them, the Lord's working on them, and, you know, praise God, that's awesome. You know, we've got so many things that are going, taking place. We've, you know, 40 days, I think that's very significant, of, you know, us half after the Passover. You know, the storms, the comets, solar flares. I mean, it just, you know, wars and rumors of wars. I mean, I just see where, I seen this morning where the EU decided to give everything that they confiscated from Russia and different places, but they've confiscated all different kinds of things, but they decided to give that to Ukraine. And, you know, it's like, okay, you know, people, it's like, how is that going to play out? You really think that that's a good idea? And, I mean, it's just, you know, talk about, you know, throwing gasoline on a fire that, you know, was fizzling out. Here we go again. You know, over $200 billion worth of Russian funds is what the number that I seen this morning. And who knows how accurate that is. But, you know, it was fizzling out. Now they're just going to throw another, oh, you know, okay, we got to ramp this war up. Let's throw another $200 billion at it, you know, and see how that goes.
Yeah, we see that here in this nation as well. It's that's what benefits this great war industrial war complex is let's have more war. Let's have more war, especially, you know, here during an election year. And the turmoil that it's causing, you know, people are seeing that, hey, this maybe there's more to it than what we've been told, both in the conflict in the Ukraine as well as, you know, Gaza between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And they, you know, old Bibi over there, the leader of the Israelis, he has to keep things, he has to keep war going. That's the people that supported and elected him. That's what they want. They want genocide. And that's what they're doing. And the people here are just dancing around it. And, you know, they never follow what our leadership tells them. And it's that way with the Ukraine as well. We're seeing it more and more. It is those wars and rumors of wars you mentioned.
Well, you know, just about everybody in the world knows who the Israelis are. They're troublemakers wherever they go, you know, and this is what I see happen, that conflict over there. I think we're drawn into it way more than we even know about, and protecting those people and stuff like that. Well, as I see it, now this is all theory, but as China and Russia are going to join in with them because they've had enough of this crap, and then they're going to, you know, Gog and Magog, they got a hook in their jaw, you know, and Putin makes more sense than anybody I ever heard about, you know, queers and everything else. He just seems more mentally stable. He says our dollar's worth a gum wrapper and stuff like that. He understands the Federal Reserve and stuff like that. But I can see that they're going to get drawn into this, and this is going to be when America gets attacked, and then that takes us 7 months to bury the dead. And then, you know, all these military young guys that are here, and, you know, the government's been buying up guns like crazy from what I understand, and, you know, they're going to hand them guns, and they're obviously against America. I see where they give billions of dollars for these people that come in here now, and nothing for our own people. You know, but if, until you understand that Abrahamic covenant from then till now, God has a plan for Israel, and we're not going nowhere. I don't know how it's going to turn. You know, I think it's going to be pretty chaotic, but he is going to perfect Israel. And when he wants to, this happens, he said, Israel will know I am once and for all. And, well, what a wonderful day that would be. But, you know, I don't know if we even know how to live in a peaceful nation. It's just, it's so chaotic around us.
Yeah, can you imagine how peaceful it'd be if we didn't have to live with all that?
Yeah. But that's just a theory I have, but I can see it building up to that, I think. But I don't know either, so it is theory, folks. You're on your own.
Yeah, I'll take that. And I seen that over in the UK, too. One of the big things over there is this new outbreak on mad cow disease. It looks like that's ramping up. And I think that whole one from the – when was that last UK mad cow disease breakout? Was that the 80s or was that the 90s? Yeah,
somewhere right there.
And I think that was, yeah, somewhere around there. But anyway, it was like one of those things, and it's like, man, I think that there was 4 million, or they said they slaughtered over 4 million cows and just burn them. And it took years and years and years to recover from that. And, you know, that's, you know, one of those things that it's like, man, they keep trying to genetically modify the feed in these cows and to change it and to, you know, splice it and to mix in stuff that they're not supposed to be eating. I mean, it's just, you know, it's gotten crazy.
Well, this bird flu, you know, I don't know what's going on with that, but I just heard a rumor the other day, and I actually know these people. I'll find out for sure at some point in time, but I guess they got into it. They lost 40,000 pounds of production in their cattle. Now, that's huge. You know, now you think, well, they're going to plant this, and that sure could have happened, but, you know, the farmers have not farmed in God's way at all. And so, you know, they're set up for immune weaknesses and stuff like that. And I don't know, but that's just huge. Our food chain is definitely under attack, and I'd say God's at the, you know, at the base of it. He just let some evil people do it. But our food chain is under major attack.
Yeah, that's for sure. I got, it's amazing to me to talk to some people, and it's like they're harvesting stuff out of their gardens already. Man, I'm like, man, you guys must have a lot longer growing season than we do, because we haven't even put anything outside yet. I got a picture from a gentleman that showed me his onions, what he was harvesting for onions, and it was just like, wow. I mean, it was very, very impressive. And, you know, here we are up in Colorado, and I've got 8-foot tables with plants that we started from seeds that, you know, it's still too cold to put them outside. And but it's one of those things. It's like when you're starting stuff from seed, it's sometimes pretty easy to get carried away. I was talking with a guy at the hardware store, and he said, well, how many pepper plants do you got? And I said, I have no idea how many pepper plants I got. And I said, how many do you got? And he's like, well, I counted them this morning. And he's like, I got over 200 of them. And I said, well, what are you going to do with 200 pepper plants? And he's like, I don't know. I just kept planting seed and kept planting seed. I guess I'm just going to start handing pepper plants out. But it was, you know, there's a lot of people that are doing stuff. They're doing stuff with their greenhouses. They're planting their gardens, and it's good to see. And people are, you know, trying to figure out new and inventive ways to do things. And you know, we talked a lot about it last year with Zach, with the putting in the different plants, you know, doing the mixtures, and, you know, with the marigolds and the flowers and the basil and the beans with the tomatoes, and, you know, stuff that, you know, draws in the nitrogen and stuff that keeps the bugs away. And, you know, just, you know, it's stuff that works and is effective, and, you know, it's exciting when you start doing things that way.
Oh, yeah. And what a gift that keeps on giving. Give your neighbor some. I mean, we had somebody drop in yesterday there, and he said, I've got four more cherry tomatoes that I need. He said, you want these? And I was like, sure, you know, that'd be great. And I was like, why don't you just put them in the ground? Oh, I got enough, you know. So it's like, okay, well, thank you. You know, but, I mean, yeah, because we're starting to put some, you know, some of the plants out, kind of staggering them out. So if we do get a late frost, like, at least we won't lose everything. But, you know, yep, bad time.
Well, and that's what we'll do, too, is we'll put them out and, you know, and start some more or keep some inside just in case, because we've had some of these, you know, early hailstorms, late hailstorms, different stuff that, you know, sometimes hailstorms that just devastate everything, and some of them just go right around us. And, you know, but it's what happens. And, you know, the other thing that was interesting is, you know, you plant some seeds, and it's some people, and we've had this happen, and we had some of it happen with some of our tomato plants and some of our pepper plants, where you plant seed and the seeds just don't germinate, you know, and they don't produce anything. They don't even, you know, they won't even sprout up and grow. And we've had other ones that, you know, sitting side by side, they're getting the same water, they're getting the same light, and, you know, they just, they go crazy. And, you know, you just, you know, it's interesting what the difference in a seed can do.
It really is. It really is. And we had one, a close friend, actually a relative, because of it. She said that she was starting some of those in some older starting soil, a potting soil that she had used, and that it had. She said, I couldn't get anything started in that. So she just went out finally out of desperation, dug some dirt up out of the garden and put it in there and went to work with that, and everything grew on
it. Really?
So evidently, somehow or another, some of that potting soil is, I don't know what, has a time something on it.
Roundup Ready potting soil or starting soil.
Exactly.
Somebody mixed a little
and it was kind of a
glycophosphate in it or something like that, and it's not going to work.
Time release. Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, we joke about it, but I'm sure stuff like that's happened too, you know.
Oh, those, they, you know, planned obsolescence. I mean, if you work in any type of, what do I want to call it, repair industry or, you know, continuation after sale, where it's not new items being done, you can really begin to see the plans within the plans, planned obsolescence and non-repair, non-support of everything from seeds to farm equipment to the vehicles that you're transported in. I mean, compared to, I seen an ad the other day for John Deere tractors that was from the, 20s, 30s, right in there. The John Deere A's, B's, G's, and it was a vintage ad, and they were talking about the fact the John Deere, the tractor that's easy to repair, you know, you can get 80 or 90% of the parts to fix this tractor at your local hardware store, you know? Well, we're not there anymore, buddy. So, yeah. You can't find hardly anything at the hardware store to fix a tractor these days. Maybe a bolt.
You can't go to Tractor Supply and find anything to fix a tractor with anymore. I mean, it's, they call it Tractor Supply, and it's like, I went and I walked up and down the aisles at Tractor Supply.
Back there before we know it, to where you're going to have to fix things because those big electronics aren't going to work.
You know, it's all things in moderation, because you can take that to whatever extreme, which just like we were talking about with the solar storm this morning, you can take anything to the extremes. I mean, you can back down to a horse and buggy and, you know, start trying to make it from Laramie down to Fort Collins. It's going to take you a minute, but they're going to be there probably longer than that, you know, Ford Ranger or that Colorado or whatever. You know, I love my old John Deere two cylinders, and they are great to work on. And, you know, you can make your own parts, you know, for them. You don't even have to, so much of the stuff, you know. But I tell you, there ain't no comparing that 630 of, you know, what you can do with it versus when you get on that new cab tractor, with that turbocharger on it. You know, there's a big difference. And so I like to have both, you know, your old stuff that works well and probably will be when the new stuff is in the dumpster, like Tim was talking about. But, you know, it sure is nice to have the production of the new stuff and to be able to enjoy that as well. You just, all things in moderation.
Amen. I agree with that. I just, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, and it's anything. It's like, you know, you want to move some dirt or you want to pull a trailer down the road. It depends on what you can have. You can get by with some of the stuff, but you know, I mean, I'll tell you what. It's like I got that that old 2001 Dodge Ram, and it, you know, it is a fantastic truck, and I like that truck, but it doesn't. It doesn't hold a candle to, you know, the 2007 with the 6.7 turbo diesel in it if you're going to be pulling a trailer down the road.
And look, and it is, like I said, that 01 is an awesome truck. We've probably done more work with them than the new trucks because just the season of life and all, but you can't even stay in the shadow of that 6.7. You know, I mean, the first time I drove your truck, I was like, this ain't even right. I mean, there's not, the Thule's not supposed to run like this, you know. But it's just, but once again, you know, the right tool for the job. And so I was talking about.
Go ahead. Sorry, Josh.
Go ahead. Not good, bud.
Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, I think that a lot of times, too, that a lot of this newer stuff isn't actually it's contaminated with ungodly things. Because when we look at that, it's just one of those things, or antichrist think or whatever. It's just a consumable item instead of being something that. You know, God, everything in God's kingdom gets value. I mean, that's the truth of it. It's long lasting. I mean, He builds for eternity, you know, and He builds for, it never stops. It never stops producing. It never stops giving back. It blesses you. And, we have a lot of these people out there today that are only interested in blessing themselves. You know, they don't do anything for you because of the fact that it's something that they would get a blessing from blessing someone else. So I think a lot of times that's what we see.
And that's, so I'm looking at the scripture that follows exactly what you're saying. And then that's what I was thinking about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. And that's a really good segue there, Tim. But, you know, we are to be, once again, the right tool for the job. God wants us. He don't need us, but He wants us to be. He wants us to be happy to give our tithing. He wants us to be productive and be, you know, shining lights in the kingdom. But as we are doing that, we're supposed to be doing it and be thankful to do it and keeping your mouth shut and not jumping up and down saying, hey, look at me, I'm helping whoever, you know, not going and volunteering, doing whatever so that you can make a big, awesome Facebook post so that everybody knows what a great person you are. Because you get, like, the reward you get is what you got, and that's it. You know, because you didn't do it for the other person. You didn't do it for God. You didn't do it to further the kingdom. You got it for a bunch of likes and publicity and exposure and to further yourself. You know, you looking at yourself. And that's an easy trap to fall into, but the scripture right there tells you it's fine if you want to do that, but that is your reward. You're not going to have the blessing that you would if you did that and kept your mouth shut and did it for God, which is, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be working for Him, working for the kingdom, because it's not truly selfless if you get something out of it. You know, you're just doing it to benefit yourself. It is selfish, not selfless. You're doing it to get out of it, whatever it is, whatever your plan is that you're getting on the backside.
I think it's much better to look at those treasures in heaven. That's the investment to make. And there'll be a greater return on that investment than anything we can, you know, any gold or silver we can work on here.
And what if that return is your health or the health of your children? Or, I mean, we don't know how many times that something is good that's happened to us, we've been delivered or whatever, this a blessing from God. You know, we take that stuff for granted. We keep on living life, you know, thinking we, I guess, deserve everything. And, but he constantly blesses us, and you can't give enough back to him or to everybody else to account for what you get.
Well, you know, I was in a patriot movement, you know, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, and what really turned me off about it, you go to these meetings and you bring up God's law and they want nothing to do with it. But they wanted the kingdom without the king. They wanted to get the monkey off their back and live the way they were anyway, but they didn't really want to get down to the source what was really the matter. But you know, that patriot movement for the most part was as tainted as anything else. And the thing of it is, there is no remedy in court. You know, you want to go to court, you want God on your side, and he can control things, you know. You've seen it work, Jason and Richard, so... Yeah, this is what lacks. We got to put God back on the throne. This country will not be fixed from the top down. It'll be fixed from the bottom up. When American people repent, and then God will start fighting our battle for us.
So yesterday evening, and so to back up, I do work, and I like to work. I enjoy it, and to see the fruit of our labor and get things done. Sometimes you do still get tired. And so yesterday evening, I was headed home. And I was thinking about, boy, it sure would be nice to not have to work for a living, you know. And I was passing by this next new mega church. I was like, why don't you just go get me a church and be a preacher? Then I wouldn't have to do anything, you know. And they're everywhere. And people, they're there because people love to have their ears tickled and get their selfies at church and impress everybody with how religious they are. And you got a bunch of slothful preachers that are there tickling people's ears because if they say the wrong thing, they know they're going to be kicked to the curb and lose their free ride and their, you know, their jet or whatever. We choose that as the people, as that ground level that you're talking about, Paul. And until we decide to do something different, it's going to keep getting worse. The people that are choosing that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy for us or the ones that are not, but doggone sure worth it. It's making us better and making us stronger every day.
Well, you know, I look on this YouTube for my news, you know, and I don't just buzz through and see it, but it's in general. But so a while back, they were frying Joel Osteen and the women preachers and everything like this. So those guys with John MacArthur. And he was just, you know, right on, just frying them. You know, that's women preach are a disgrace to this country. And, you know, Joel Osteen's just whatever the deal was. But then he said, well, what's the next step, the rapture? You know, so careful who you listen to. There is no rapture. Because if there's a rapture, God's got to apologize to all the martyrs that died in the past. He ain't going to do it.
Yeah, I knew an old man that lived down in just south of me in Loveland, and he used to come up and visit me and talk. And you know, he was kind of a hermit and kind of a hoarder, and he had all this stuff figured out. He had all these a lot of money in the stock market, and at one point in time, he was very, very successful and had farms and stuff, and had, you know, bought into this and was trying to invest all his money in stocks, but it was had to be stocks that were going to survive the rapture. And you know, then he was telling me that, you know, he wanted, you know, because the rapture was coming, and so the church that he was part of, they wanted to donate all this money because it was going to all be burned up, and the rapture was coming, so the church wanted his money. And so he donated, and it was to the tune of several hundred thousand dollars. And you know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and it's like, you know, just the insanity, you know. And I think that it was one of those things, is because he did not, you know, he didn't have a love for the truth as to be saved. You got that deluding influence, because that's the only thing that it could have been, a deluding influence, something. Because I mean, it was just, I mean, all the common sense was gone. And you know, I said, okay, I said, well, if the rapture's coming, you know, what good is that money going to do the church? And he sat there and he thought about it, and he said, you know, told me, he said, well, I never thought about that. And it was just, and that, I mean, that's the state that a lot of people are in.
Well, the parable of the seeds in the soil, you know, y'all were talking about rooting and starting seedlings and growing earlier. Listening to him made me think about, you know, when you're clearing land, there are different trees that have different root structures, and some of them are just sitting there on top of the ground, and they're easy to turn over, whereas other ones have tap roots that you got to dig up a stump the size of the machine you're on, you know, to roll them over. And it's so important to have those roots, you know, to be grounded, to be rooted in the truth, and know the truth, so that you can't be easily be shaken. I'm not saying you can't be, but not as easily be turned over on your side. That's where your stability comes from, is from being grounded in the Word, and then not doubting what you know. Paul, you're talking about those preachers, and you know, there's always that little bit of, I say always, but a lot of times there's that little bit of leaven that comes, and that's the way they work. They get that little bit of water in that crack, and whenever it freezes, it opens it up, and it just keeps on cycling and working. And if you allow it, it can split you open, and you end up just as double-minded as they are. But if you know something, and you know it because you read it in the Word, and you see it, and you know it to be the truth, don't move on that.
Well, you know, people got no value. If you got a bushel of wheat and you got a shekel, where's the value? The value is in the bushel of wheat. The shekel is the common denominator, but it's in the, and this is what we're coming to. It's going to be food. It ain't how much gold or silver, how much you got to store it up, because that ain't going to cut it. Faith is going to cut it. He can feed us manna if need be. He said there'd be enough for us, and he said that, so I'm going to take him at his word. But in common sense, like you said, get your garden back to that. You know, my mom had a garden, and we basically lived out of that garden. She'd go to the store for a few basics, salt, pepper, whatever, you know, malt, small sugars. But the grocery was small because we had canned food in the basement. You know, we could live for just about a whole year, for sure. And we got to get back to that basics, is what I'm saying. You know, like that Tsunami book, too. It's not practical for everybody to buy a farm, but you know people that do farm and start thinking different. Start thinking different and buy local wherever you can and get out of the box stores.
Well, what's the fastest way that people are actually going to get there to that, going back to that growing your own food and doing, if they can't afford it in the stores? I know for us, it doesn't make any financial sense whatsoever to grow a garden. I spend multiple times more on a garden than when I can just go buy the food for. And so what's going to have to happen to make it economically sound, to make it worth my time, where I could spend the time in the garden and the money on the seed?
It's about the experience. A lot of it is.
Yeah, bull. But I understand what you're saying. It's about learning and all. I'm saying, if you're looking for value, if you're just a regular person looking at value, the only way that value is going to get there is if more of these factories burn down and these production facilities, and more of these chickens are lost and the cattle die off, and it gets to where it costs you more to go buy your everything at Walmart than you can do it yourself. And that's why it's the only way it's going to make sense to people. So, you know, we look at these things like aliens in a spaceship that are coming to attack us, but actually it's blessing from God, because the more the stuff costs, the more it's going to make sense for you to go back to the old way of doing it yourself. Because not how are you going to justify these $42 a pound tomatoes? You know, I mean, it's just, you can't lie to yourself and make it make sense, you know. But it was out of line to start out with, and all this GMO stuff, and you know, the fertilizers and all these things were out of line years ago, and have allowed or pushed us to where we're at now, where we're not, we don't have sustainable agriculture. We can't do things on our own, and so everything that pushes us closer to that is a blessing to us.
You know, my father-in-law said 40 years ago, he said, why would I raise it? I can buy it just cheaper. You know, I said, you know, I said to him, I said, you know what the problem with that is? Your kids don't know how to raise a garden.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Well,
and I'm in no way trying to deter anyone from doing it. I'm just saying.
No, that's go ahead.
I'm just saying that it's got to make sense for normal people to do it. And it hasn't in apparently 40 years because you're dating the statement. But one day it will, and hopefully the knowledge will still be back there to guide our people and to get back to the way it should be.
We're headed there.
Well, and it's kind of like those chickens and those eggs, and it's like, you know, by the time you raise those chickens and you do all the research and you decide that you want to have them on an all organic diet and you start doing that, and you got to build a chicken coop, and then you want more chicken, then your wife keeps coming home with more chickens, and then you got to add on to the chicken coop and you're fencing it, and yeah those are some really expensive eggs, but you know what, it's one of those things is you wouldn't trade it for the world either. The experience that the children get.
A bear walks down the creek and takes them all out. Huh?
Yeah, and then you start all over again.
Yeah.
And, but we've done things different, like with our garden and stuff, too. I mean, you know, it's like you started a garden and then went to the raised beds and then put this in, and you want good soil in there, and then you want an irrigation system set up with sprinklers on a timer, and, you know, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, it's like, boy, it's gotten expensive. But at the same time, the you know, with got three boys and a daughter, and that's one of their things. It's they go out to the garden almost every single day. They love it. They enjoy it. They're out there with their chickens and you know, out there in the garden, and it's an experience, and they're learning how to, you know, if they had to, they could survive.
And you get to bless other people, because all of us, our type, you know, we plant too much and we end up with too much, and you can't put it all up, and so you end up giving a lot away. And, Tim, you're talking about those plants, you know, and what a gift that was. I mean, if somebody gives you their homegrown garden vegetables, that's a big deal. There's a lot of love in that. You can't just go buy that, you know. And so if somebody chose you to share that with, that's a big compliment.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and appreciate it. We chuckle about those sort of things, but it's more the humor of it than the reality of it. The reality is they cared enough to it was like, well, I know where this could go, and they'll have a good home there. Because they could have just chucked them in the trash, you know, or done something like that. But, yeah, I think that...
Well, and Tim's wife makes some of the best salsa, you know, this side of the Mississippi, too. And so, you know, I got to remind him if he's going to come see me or something, you know, if you got a couple jars of that salsa or some of those jalapenos that your wife put up, you know, I know where there would be a good place where they could go.
And this year, hopefully, we're going to do better. Last year was kind of a miserable year for tomatoes and jalapenos. But,
it was a very, very, very expensive commodity. A very, not expensive, yeah, but a very precious commodity last year.
But, yeah. I mean, we've been out for like 3 months or 2 months. So it's kind of like, yeah. And you know, that store-bought stuff's just not even close.
Well, we're out of time. But, closing thoughts, gentlemen. Don't everybody go at once. Go, Paul.
So we've been talking about it for an hour. How much more you need?
Yeah. Just be thankful for everything that's going on. And remember, you are what you eat. And everything that's happening is for us. It's for our benefit, for the remnant, and for furthering the kingdom. And don't be sucked down any other rabbit hole.
Amen.
And he also preserves the wicked for the day of destruction, too. It's a two-edged sword.
Everything God puts before us strengthens our muscles. It's exercise. So there's a way through,
amen,
over or around, but it's there, and it's Jesus Christ.
All right. Thanks, folks. Thanks, men. Have a good day.
And the next song we have here is by Carl Klang. It's called We
You Are the Last Party in the Conference.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. Our dignity and our freedoms and our